In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. I'm Father Ed Broome, Oblate of the Virgin Mary, and as always, it's great to be with all of you at the start of this new day, this new week. We should celebrate this wonderful solemnity of the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into heaven. The Lord is truly risen, alleluia, alleluia, and he ascends on high, where he takes his seat at the right hand of God the Father, alleluia, alleluia. So we'd like to start off our conversation, as always, by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many different titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church, and Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. We also call out to Mary, as we do in the Hail Holy Queen. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's cry out to Mary, invite Mary to be with us by her prayers, so that we would love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most, and that prayer is the Hail Mary. Together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, let's lift our gaze and pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray to our spiritual director, that is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many, many different titles. The Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor, as well as our Consoler. Holy Spirit is also the Sanctifier. Holy Spirit is our interior master or teacher. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit and beg for his presence as we converse today. Ask the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light. To give us a lot of light, but also to give us the interior fire of love to burn within our hearts as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. So today we celebrate the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into heaven. So to motivate all of you, I promise to pray for you in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And I'd like to place all of you on the altar in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer in the whole world than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So in that, in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, I'd like to place you on the altar. With the following intentions. First, I'd like to pray for all of us as we draw closer to Pentecost, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit, which we'll be celebrating next Sunday, that all of us would be more and more open to the promptings, the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. That sweet guest of our soul. Perhaps we can say this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Let's pray that we would be open to his inspirations. Be motivated to do great things for God in honor of the saints, who are the masterpieces of the Holy Spirit. My second intention, I'd like to pray for your families, our families, for the conversion of the family members, those who are have walked away from God, but also I'd like to pray for ourselves that we would go deeper in our own conversion to Christ. That we would go deeper in our own conversion to Christ. And then for our sanctification. Another way of explaining sanctification would be our growth in holiness. That we would not stagnate, but that we would grow in holiness. And then my third intention related to the family would be for our final perseverance in grace, that we would die in God's grace so that we can go to heaven. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Then I'd like to also pray for those who will be dying today. that they will be saved. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? So those are my intentions I'd like to place on the altar in the holy sacrifice of the Mass today. So given that we're still in the month of May, May is for Mary. I would like to give a brief Marian catechesis. And invite you, whenever you like, to honor Mary by praying the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Perhaps the most famous is the Litany of Loreto. If you never prayed the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary, I invite you to do it. And it's a series of short invocations, short prayers that we offer to Mary. These short invocations we respond by saying, pray for us. For example, Holy Mary, Mary Mother of God, pray for us. Mary Mother of the Church, pray for us. Mary Virgin of Virgins, pray for us. Mary Mystical Rose, pray for us. Mary Tabernacle of God, pray for us. Mary Ark of the Covenant, pray for us. Mary Model of Patience, pray for us. So there's a series of invocations that we pray to Mary, terminating with the words, pray for us. The Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary is a summary of invocations presenting Mary's virtues. Many of these invocations are biblical. Many of them are somewhat poetic, and also they're mystical. So they're biblical, bring us deeper and deeper into the Word of God, the Bible. They're poetic, beautiful expression of who Mary is, utilizing linguistic perfection. And mystical means raising our hearts on high to God, helping us to have a deeper union with God through a deeper prayer life. So that's my suggestion, that sometime, perhaps in this week, to pray the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. All right. Today, my friends, we celebrate the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into heaven. As mentioned in my briefer lecture or conversation yesterday, in the context of the liturgical year, we celebrate Easter, which is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with the Easter Vigil Mass, in which you have the baptism of the neophytes, their confirmation and their First Communion. Then that whole week after Easter Sunday and the Easter Vigil Mass, that whole week we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is the foundation of our Catholic faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We say in the Mass. Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead. Alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Hallelujah. So, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, but also we celebrate that not simply one day, but we celebrate it 8 days. We celebrate that from Easter Sunday until the following Sunday, in which we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday, which was a feast day that was instituted by Pope St. John Paul II, April 30th, 2000. On that day, he also canonized St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, who's known as the Secretary of Divine Mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. So that whole week we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, culminating in Divine Mercy Sunday. That day, if you made your confession and you received Holy Communion, you receive the special privilege of having your soul become white as snow, like a baptismal grace. One of the promises that Jesus gave to St. Faustina. Then, Lent is 40 days, but Easter season is 50 days. So we've been in the Easter season all these days. And that leads us to what we celebrate today, the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into heaven. In some dioceses, it was already celebrated last Thursday, Ascension Thursday. However, most dioceses in the United States of America, they celebrate the ascension of our Lord this Sunday. This Sunday. So what does this mean? Well, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he stayed with us, he stayed with the disciples for 40 days, in which he was manifesting to the world that he was not dead, but he was alive. This preeminent action of Christ, in which he truly rose from the dead, never to die again, was a life-transforming event that would change the whole world until the end of time, all the way into eternity. So he conquers death by his resurrection. Then Jesus goes about proving to others. He proves to others that he did not die, that rather that he did die, but he rose from the dead. And that means that he appeared to others to prove his risen presence. First, he appears to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He appears to the Blessed Mother. Even though this is not written, we believe that he truly appeared to his Blessed Mother. She was the only one that didn't doubt. Then we have ample biblical testimony to his other apparitions. He appears to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene believes that Jesus Christ is the gardener, until Jesus says, Mary, and then she recognizes that it is Jesus. He appears to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. You find this in Luke chapter 24. They only recognize him when he breaks bread there in Emmaus. Then their eyes were opened. They recognized him in the breaking of the bread. They went back to the apostles in Jerusalem, revealing what they had experienced on the road to Emmaus. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he explained the word of God to us? And he appears to the apostles in the upper room. All this happened on Easter Sunday. With the doors locked, the doors closed, Jesus goes through the wall in his glorified presence, and he says, Shalom, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. And he breathed on them the Holy Spirit and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they'll be forgiven. Whose sins you hold bound, they'll be held bound. Then Jesus will appear to the apostles when they go fishing. They catch nothing the whole night. Jesus, the man on the shore, tells them to cast their net on the other side of the boat. And they catch so many fish that the nets were almost breaking. And John sees that it's Jesus and he says, it's the Lord. Peter launches himself into the Lake Galilee, swims, and there our Lord is preparing breakfast for them. Then after they've eaten, Jesus walks on the shore with Peter and asks him three times, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Then Jesus appeared to St. Paul. And it says that he appeared to 500 others at the same time. So I'm purposely going through these resurrection events to point out the fact that Christ, even though he died, he truly rose from the dead, never to die again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We say in the Mass. So there we have it. The resurrection appearances. And St. Ignatius says that we should be begging as we contemplate the resurrection of Christ. We should be begging for, as they say in Spanish, intensísimo gozo. Intensísimo gozo, what does that mean? The most intense joy. And the reason for this joy is that Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. So after appearing during these 40 days to the apostles and to the disciples, then Jesus summons them to the mountain, Mount Olivet. So they go to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. Very symbolic, the mountain. We have the Sermon on the Mount. We have Moses ascending the mountain. We have the Transfiguration, which took place on the mountain. By the mountain, they ascend to a higher place, a higher realm. We're also called to climb the mountain. St. John the Cross wrote a mystical work called The Ascent to Mount Carmel. We're called to ascend the mountain of holiness in our spiritual life. So there on the mountain, they go to the mountain, and then the passage, and this is taken from the last few verses of St. Matthew chapter 28, says, when they saw him, they worshipped. They saw him, they worshipped. Briefly speak about that. They worshipped. Of all the different types of prayer that we can offer to God, the highest form of prayer that we can offer to God is, what do you think? Of all the types of prayer that we can offer to God, by far, the highest form of prayer we can offer to God is that of praise and worship. And on earth, the greatest prayer we can offer to God is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. What is the purpose of the holy sacrifice of the Mass? Well, in the doxology, as the priest lifts up the host and lifts up the chalice, we hear these words: through him, with him, and in him. Almighty God, through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. So as the priest lifts up the host and the paten and the chalice, there's an upward ascent. This is the ascension. There's an upward ascent, the ascension. So that doxology is very much related to the ascension that we celebrate today. The upward rising of the host and the chalice. Points to the purpose of our existence. And the purpose of our existence is we're here to praise God the Father by the offering of God the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit, praising God the Father by the offering of God the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And once we get to heaven, we'll be loving God, but we'll be praising and worshiping God for all eternity. So it says that they worship him, but it also said they doubted. Interesting. Jesus is risen. He's appeared several times, but still some of them doubted. Perhaps even today some of us are doubting. Maybe some of us are doubting. So we can bring this to the Lord in prayer. Lord, help me to overcome my doubts, but by having a greater trust in you. That's a good prayer. They doubted, and sometimes we doubt. Many people, I believe, have trust issues. We trust God only up to a certain point. But when things don't go our ways, things seem to fall apart. There's no apparent success. We have certain setbacks or failures. Then we start to doubt. So let's pray that God would give us greater trust. Perhaps we can even look at that image of Jesus and Divine Mercy and say, Jesus, I trust in you. We can say with that man in the gospel, Lord, I believe, but strengthen my faith. Lord, I believe, but strengthen my faith. It's interesting. After Jesus has already risen 40 days, they're still doubting. And that's for us because we, of all the theological virtues, a lack of hope is predominant of our culture. There are two sins against the virtue of hope. One is presumption, which means that I can keep sinning, and God's going to save me anyway. That's a sin of presumption. But the other one is that of despair, which I'm convinced that my sin or sins are so bad that God cannot forgive that. That was the sin of Judas Iscariot. So we want to ask God to bolster up and strengthen our hope in Him. We would not doubt. So Jesus then approaches them. Let's take that word to approach. He does not recoil from them, but He approaches them. And if you look at the Divine Mercy image, Jesus is stepping towards us, not stepping backwards. The Lord approaches us. Let us approach Him. May it be mutual. May He approach us, but also may we approach Him also. He approaches, and then He says to them, all power in heaven and in earth has been given to me. There we have another attribute of Christ, all power. Another word for all power would be omnipotent. Omnipotent. God is all powerful, but let's be honest, we are all very weak. How true. God is all powerful, but we are very weak. So if we're walking hand in hand with Christ, then we're all powerful too, because He's the essence of holiness and purity and power and intelligence. God is the essence of all these virtues. All power has been given to me. So we are weak, but we are associated with an all-powerful God. Then Jesus. After this, we have Jesus giving His last words in the Gospel. This is the Gospel of St. Matthew. chapter 28, 16 to 20, those last five verses of the Gospel of St. Matthew. I like to call this is his last words are his missionary mandate. His missionary mandate. What he says. Go therefore. And make disciples of all nations. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So what Jesus is saying is this. We say that the Catholic Church is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Those are called the four marks of the Church. One, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. By saying this, Jesus is saying that he wants the whole world, every continent, to belong to him. Every country to belong to him. Every nation to belong to him. Every state to belong to him. Every county to belong to him. Every city to belong to him. Every village to belong to him. Every family to belong to him. Everyone in the world to belong to Jesus Christ. That is his intention. With that, we have the word Catholic. By the word Catholic, Catholic actually means in Greek, kata holos, Catholic. What does this word kata holos, Catholic mean? It actually means universal, not local or provincial, but universal. Universal. He wants all to know him, to love him, to obey him, and to be saved. So these words are related to what we call the missionary mandate. We should feel incumbent upon us to be missionaries. To be missionaries. These are the last words of Christ. To be missionaries. So that means, my friends, we have a lot of work to do. Think about China, more than a billion people. It's a communist country denying God's existence. Communist Russia. Communist Vietnam, Communist Korea, North Korea, Communist Cuba. All these are communist country, and Karl Marx says that religion is the opium of the people. Let the poor peasants believe in God as a pacifier, to appease, to pacify the multitude. So my friend, we have our work cut out for us. We're not called to sit on our hands, or to play tic-tac-toe, or to be passive. Jesus wants us to preach and extend his word to the four corners of the earth. For that reason, over the past few weeks, Pope Francis in his general audience on Wednesday, he's giving a catechesis. And the catechesis over the past few weeks has been specifically that Pope Francis is exhorting us, encouraging us to have apostolic zeal. By apostolic zeal, Pope Francis means he's encouraging us to try as best we can to bring Christ to others and bring others to Christ. To bring Christ to others and to bring others to Christ. Last Wednesday, Pope Francis presented to us a model for what we're talking about today. A model for apostolic zeal. A model missionary. And he mentions the greatest missionary in modern times over the past 500 years. And the greatest missionary in modern times is the great Saint Francis Xavier. When Saint Ignatius of Loyola formed the Company of Jesus, the Jesuits, they had four vows. One vow was to do and to go wherever the Holy Father would send them. The Pope back then had a very strong missionary spirit. And he wanted to send, Pope wanted to send missionaries to the Far East. So the Pope asked Ignatius if he could send anyone, so he had two in mind, but they got sick. So he looked to Francis Xavier, who was basically his secretary and his good friend. And he asked him, would you be willing to go? And he said, yes. And then Ignatius said to Francis Xavier, go now and go set all on fire. Go set all on fire. So he went to Portugal, embarked, and he traveled to India, where his headquarters was Goa. He went from India to Indonesia, from Indonesia to Japan. From Japan, he wanted to go to China, because if he went to China and the Chinese were converted, then that would be like a domino effect in the conversion of Japan. But he died overlooking mainland China on the island of Sanchan and died when he was 46 years old, having worked as a missionary 11 years. Go set all on fire. And that's what Jesus was saying. That's what Jesus was saying that we have in the Gospel today from Matthew chapter 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And then Jesus says, that to baptize them. How? To baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So to first teach, so that our faith is understood, then after the teaching, to baptize. This would be a good day, my friends, in which we can renew our baptismal commitment. which would be to renounce sin, to renounce the pomps of the devil, to renounce worldly values, to renounce everything in our lives that can impede us from giving ourselves fully and totally to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you know any family that does not have a child baptized, to strongly encourage this family member or friend to have the child baptized as soon as possible. In the lives of many saints, they have their child baptized the same day that the child is born, realizing the many graces that flow from the moment that someone is baptized. So Jesus says to go out to all nations and to make disciples of all nations, to teach what he has taught them, and to baptize. And you have the Trinitarian formula. Jesus says to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So Jesus is insisting also upon teaching. My friends, how important it is to have good teachers that are ready and willing to teach the fullness of the faith to others. We as priests were called to pray and to preach. But one of the dimensions or purposes of our Perseverance family conversation, it is my hope and desire that all of you will become teachers. Maybe not a formal teacher in the school, but all of you will be teachers, catechists of the Catholic faith. Many of you are parents. Some of you are grandparents. The primary teachers and catechists of children are the parents. They are the primary educators of their children. So the better we can educate ourselves, the better we can educate and form ourselves, the more we're able to educate others. Then the last words of Jesus, he says, and behold, I am with you always until the end of the age, or always until the end of time. With that, we have the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, as an extension of the Gospels. I mentioned my course on the Acts of the Apostles that after we finish reading the Gospel of Luke, the Acts chapter 1 is like an extension of the last chapter of the Gospels. So Jesus ascends. So what we celebrate today is the second glorious mystery. Jesus ascends on high. He goes up and up and up through the clouds, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will have no end. We pray that in the Creed. Every time we go to Mass on Sunday. So, I think the question that possibly crosses our mind, if our Lord says that he'll be with us always until the end of time, then he ascends and he goes through the clouds where he sits at the right hand of God the Father. How can it be that he says he's going to be with us when he's leaving us? I think it's a good question. And the response is the following. Is that Jesus passes through the clouds and he sits at the right hand of God the Father. Then where is he? If he's going up to heaven. And the response is very simple. He's not with us in what is called his glorified body in heaven. But Jesus remains with us until the end of time in another presence. And that other presence would be in his church, which we can define the church is the mystical body of Christ. I'll be with you always until the end of the age, the end of time. So he's with us in the church. And you, my friends, are part of the Catholic Church. St. Peter says in one of his writings, you are the living stones. You are the living stones of the church, which is the mystical body of Christ. You are the living stones of the church, which is the mystical body of Christ. And Pope St. John Paul II says that the very living heartbeat, the very living heartbeat or center of the church is the tabernacle where you have Jesus present in the Eucharist, in his body, his blood, his soul, and divinity. So we should be drawn to Jesus Christ in his church, in his members. We're part of the members. But most specifically, that Jesus is present, he has his real presence in the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. So my friends, these are the messages for us today. That all of us are called to be modern apostles, modern disciples, modern missionaries. All of us are called to that. We are called to extend the message of Christ to the four corners of the world. We're called to promote baptism in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. But also we're encouraged with those last words of Christ. Is that we're not orphans. We're not alone. Jesus said that he'll be with us always, even until the very end of the world. He's with us in his church. And now Jesus will send upon us in his church the Paraclete, the Consoler, the sweet guest of the soul. And that is the Holy Spirit. So, my friends, Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the mother of God the Son. Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. I invite you and Father Ed Brome, an oblate of the Virgin Mary, and invite all of you to be missionaries and to share this message to all of your friends so that they will get to know Christ, love Christ, one day be with Christ forever and ever in heaven. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.